diversityfund.org. You can send questions to info@diversityfund.org. Upcoming info session dates and recordings are accessible online at www.diversityfund.org. The phone number for further information is 202-743-0130. That's 202-743-0130.
Rosemary in the bag and tied around my handy for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Hey, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I gotta hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad. Herb man.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but to also turn your life and health around. I am Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here with my able trusty assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. How are you doing today, Brother Frank?
I'm excited again, Doc.
Yes, we're really excited, you know. And actually, before we get into the actual program, let me see if I can pull up that list of fine people who donated last week and helped us not only to reach our goal, but exceed our goal. First was James of D.C., and then Milton. Dr. Mills was actually our guest last week, and he went off air and called in and made a donation. Esther Williams made a very nice donation. Walter Morton, Richard Van Dyke, Pearline Gray, and Wilbert. And then we had an anonymous person who made a very, very generous donation. So we're excited that we have such a outstanding listening group of people. You know, a few weeks ago, Frank, we started a series entitled I Too Have a Dream. And as I reflected on the stellar work of Dr. Martin Luther King and other civil rights leaders and what they had accomplished, I was impressed that we've made significant progress in many areas of our lives for our community. But the one area that I believe we fail to make significant progress, and in fact is retrogressing, is in the area of health. Now, this doesn't mean that the other areas, as we can see even now, even worse, don't need some help. But individuals of African American descent lead this nation in if not all chronic diseases that claim our lives and our health. So in the tradition of Dr. King, I concluded that I too have a dream of a community free of diseases that plague and kill us, free of diseases that rob many of the quality years of our existence. I recognize that in a strange way, we have once again become enslaved. We have once again become enslaved, but this time the slave master is our lifestyle. And so there is still work that's needed to be done. And I call it the unfinished work, the unfinished work. And today we're going to talk about one of the unfinished works that need to be done, one of the diseases that really plague our community, and that is in the area of cancer. It's important to acknowledge that African Americans experience a disproportionate burden of cancers compared to other racial and ethnic groups in the United States. All right. There's a higher mortality rate. African Americans have the highest mortality rate of any other ethnic or racial group in this country. And the disparity exists for many types of cancers, including prostate, breast, colorectal, lung, and pancreas. So today we want to look at, number one, why does this exist? And most importantly, what can we do to change this scenario and to assist us in answering these questions? I've asked a couple of my smart friends, to join us. Frank, could you give us a brief introduction to our guests today?
Yeah, Doc, we have Dr. Ruby Lathan, a returning guest, an esteemed guest as well. And we have our team researcher, Sam Isenbero.
Brother Sam.
That's good.
I'm going to get that right at one point. Dr. Ruby Lathan is a certified holistic nutritionist and a wellness coach. And she's a radical advocate for life-saving benefits of plant-based nutrition. She inspires with a powerful story of recovery from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods, plant-based diet. Dr. Ruby worked as a researcher and an award-winning engineer. She now teaches others to re-engineer their health and lives. This dynamic lady earned a PhD and an MS in industrial and systems engineering from the University of Alabama in Huntsville. And she also earned a BS in computer science from Oakwood University.
Amen.
Yeah. <Tell it. laughs> She received her nutrition training and certification at the Washington Institute of Natural Medicine. Dr. Lathan served as nutrition policy manager at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she developed and led a national grassroots campaign to advocate legislation for more healthy and plant-based meal options in the national school lunch program.
And so, Frank,
I'm sure they're getting away.
I was like, this is only an hour show. You don't have to read the whole thing.
Anyway, she's all over social media. So check her out, Dr. Ruby Lathan. And we also have Brother Sam, and I'm going to give a short bio for him. He's a researcher par excellence, and he was born in Uganda, East Africa. His degrees are in electrical engineering and information technology. So we have two engineers and two information technology, including me, is three. So he earned his degrees from North Carolina A&T, another HBCU, and Piedmont College. Doc, we got some heavyweights.
All right. So, I mean, it's exciting. And Dr. Lathan also went to the academy that I graduated from, Oakwood Academy. So we graduated from the both the academy and the college. So we got big connections. But why does this disparity with cancer exist? First of all, why do people get cancer? What's the reason, would either of you say, that people get cancer in the first place in this country?
Well, part of it is that, you know, we have cells that we call go rogue, and they have been, the DNA has been damaged, and they start proliferating out of control or in ways they shouldn't. That's the basic way that we have cancer. And that's introduced through a number of ways that this happens to the cells, through environmental toxins, through food, through stress, through poor health conditions, and a whole host of things that contribute to the forming of that.
So Sam.
Yes, please.
Africa is to many people considered a third world country, a poor country.
Continent.
Yeah. Thank you. Yet, in many ways, the cancer rates in Africa are low, and in many places, non-existent. Why is that?
Yeah, in fact, if I may add a bit, according to research findings, there is a professor called Thomas Seafield at Boston University. He has carried out research, and he has shown that there is, yes, a little bit of the genetic part. However, most of the cancers are mitochondria. They are much more to the lifestyle than
mitochondria, you know, is the powerhouse of the cell, right?
Exactly.
Well, energy, yes.
A high source of the energy. So when that is damaged, and mainly, of course, because of the lifestyle, what we are taking in, we end up having the cancer. So in historical context, we look at what was going on. And the good thing about this information is documented. There were two doctors, one of them, Dr. Dennis Burkett, and another one, mm-hmm. Hugh Thorwell. They worked in Uganda for a long time. In fact, Dr. Hugh Thorwell came to Uganda from Kenya around 1930. And he observed that the Africans, the Ugandan, he couldn't see any diabetes, no high blood pressure, you know, no colon cancer, nothing like that. So he wondered why. At first he thought maybe these people are immune to these diseases. So they looked at the diet. They found that besides many being vegetarian, the fiber was very high. And when they compared to the Western countries, they realized that a lot of the food eaten was highly processed. So they came to the conclusion that fiber had something to do with that. And obviously, current studies show that fiber is responsible for your good microbiome. And your microbiome, of course, translates to the good health and so on, to your immune system and so on. So to look at it again is, as African countries were starting to adapt to the Western lifestyle, a lot of sugar, highly processed foods, and so forth, they realized, this is Dr. Burkett and Hugh Thorwell, when they went back to Uganda after independence, they realized that the people were also starting to develop, Ugandans were starting to develop these problems which were not there before. They call these diseases like diabetes, like the, you know, high blood pressure and so on. They call them Western diseases. So they realized the people were starting to get them, but those were the people within the cities. Those in the villages who didn't change the lifestyle, they were okay. They didn't have these problems. And obviously later they found the cancer starting to accumulate or start to increase, and they were mainly in the people who were very highly educated that were adapting to the lifestyle of the West. So looking at that, and of course there are many other studies, I think Professor Thomas Seafield said that when they checked different tribes that were remote, the Maasai, you know, the Maasai are those you may have heard about in East Africa. These people literally, you'll be surprised. They, you know, they don't know anything about these Western diseases, as we call them, except to those who change and eat highly processed food and so forth. So it's clear the lifestyle has more to do with it than the DNA. They showed another one where the Africans who migrated to the Western countries, their offspring, their children, grandchildren, started to develop high rate of cancer than the parents and grandparents. And of course, another major part, I don't want to belabor it, but because of our melanin, we block vitamin D. This was to help us in tropical weather, a lot of sunshine. But when you go away from the equator, you are going to be deficient in vitamin D. Anybody who is deficient in vitamin D is very highly likely to get these diseases.
You know, and it's interesting. I used to do vitamin D levels on all of my patients, and I stopped doing it because they were all deficient, unless they were taking vitamin D. And you know, I don't like supplements, but one of the supplements that I do recommend to all of my patients is vitamin D. Because if they don't, they're going to be deficient. And not only cancer, COVID, and so many other diseases associated with vitamin D deficiency. So, and the another factor that we, Dr. Layton mentioned it, is this issue of stress. So we can't overlook that too as a factor associated with the increased risk of cancers within our community. But if these are all, would you say, Dr. Layton, preventable things?
In most cases, when we're talking about lifestyle, definitely there are, most of them are preventable. We're talking about environmental factors. There are still things that you can do nutritionally to help protect your body against environmental factors that you can't control, radiation and, you know, from our cell phones and from just the environment and EMFs and all these kind of things. There are things that even if those are around that we can reduce our risk, but in terms of the lifestyle related ones, most of those are preventable.
And so if a disease can be prevented, I believe that they also can be reversed.
Right.
And so hence the dream is not just to prevent us from getting cancer, but many of us already have cancer. Many of us already have many of the other chronic diseases. We need to do something, Brother Frank, to reverse those things. And it's just, you know, we just happen to have two people on here today that both have done it. So it's not just theory. It's actually been done. I mean, Dr. Layton, at the time, she was in engineering, and she became a nutritionist by doctoring on herself. And of course, Frank had stage 4 liver cancer, was sent home basically to die by some of the major institutions in our community, but decided that he was going to pray. And after praying, he developed some hope. And one of the things that I think is going to be critical for us as a community, Brother Sam, is for us to develop a sense of hope. Mm-hmm. All right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Frank, tell me, how did that hope, that sense of hope, impact you in terms of leading you since 2013, if I recall?
Yes.
To this present day being cancer-free?
Well, it opened the door it opened the door, it kicked it open, you know, wide
open. It open.
Yeah, it kicked it open. And that...
A door that had been slammed shut by the supposedly top institutions in the area.
Exactly, exactly. So it led me to pray, and then I got the hope, and then I started to work. I started researching, and, you know, our Most High just opened up doors to me. You know, he opened up the avenue to you and to Dr. Lathan and to a wealth of YouTube knowledge, you know. So I can't thank him enough, I tell you.
So this what we're talking about, and the number here is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Give us a call with questions or comments. But it's critical, I believe, that we understand that we're talking about cancer, but we're not talking about cancer because it's some horrible disease that cannot be controlled. We're talking about cancer because we can grab it by the neck, smack it upside the face, and throw it in the trash, all right? But in order to do that, we have to decide that, number one, we are worth the effort because it's going to take some effort. Was it easy, Dr. Lathan, to change?
Yes and no. So having the motivation was easy because there's, you know, your life is on the line. So that can light a different kind of fire under you. Yes. The changes, because there was so much motivation, what would have been seen as difficult changes weren't as difficult because I just changed the framing about it. So that's why I say yes and no. Changing your diet can seem to be difficult. You know, getting rid of all junk and dairy and sugar can sound difficult. And in a way it is, but it's definitely doable.
Especially when you go to meet with the family on Christmas.
Right. Yeah.
And Thanksgiving.
Right. Right. That can be difficult and you got to make plans for that. But when you understand that the reward is recovery, then it helps you get through the difficult times a little easier. I think a lot of times when we make dietary changes, we see minimal or no results. And so people lose their impetus or drive or will to make those changes because they don't think it's going to make much of a difference because we're making these small incremental changes that you really can't see the result of. But when you make these big lifestyle changes and you know that if you keep going, it's going to result in something quite dramatic, then it gives you a lot more impetus to keep going.
So you said a couple things that I think deserve a little more. Number one, how long did it take you to actually reverse your cancer?
It was about a year process that I gave myself, about a year. Initially, I was impatient and was like, this should be done in 3 months. But, you know, I didn't get the results in 3 months and I had more to learn. So I halfway through this process, I was like, let me just calm down, give it time, and make sure, as long as we're going in the right direction, in a positive or neutral direction with the diagnosis, then I'm going to keep going.
And that giving it time is something, you know, cancer doesn't come overnight, all right? It takes years for one to develop a cancer.
Right.
It's developing unbeknownst to you, but it's developing. So therefore, to expect it to go away overnight is unrealistic. And so it took time, but you were willing to give it the time because you looked in the mirror and you saw someone worth the time.
Right. Definitely.
Now there were people, including your physician, I believe, as I recall from your story, who thought you were crazy.
Put it
mildly, and encouraged you to get off course.
Right.
But you stuck with it.
Right. Yeah. I was told it being irresponsible and that I needed to go ahead and take care of this right away and, you know, get it, the thyroid removed and then get on the medication and fall in line. And for some people, that's the option that works. For me, that's not what I wanted to do. And I had a very strong calling not to do that.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. And you also talked about making small change versus making major changes.
Right. Exactly. So what I was doing was so drastically different than what I was started with before the diagnosis versus what I was doing during the recovery was dramatic. So there's no way that I could not see results. Like I said, getting rid of the processed food, the packaged food, getting rid of all processed and added sugars, getting rid of obviously all meat, dairy, animal products. So eating a very clean diet, eating lots of things that are healing from garlic to, you know, herbal teas and a lot of other things. So those things really put together had to make a dramatic difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Give us a call with questions or comments. Let's go to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
How you doing, Doc? This is Rick Barco calling you from Germany, man.
What's happening over there in Germany, brother?
We dodged the bullet.
All right.
Germany dodged the far-right party with awesome. The election of Mr. Merz as chancellor. Although the alternative for Deutschland, the far-right party, they came in a close second. So for the moment, they're all dancing around trying to figure out how they're going to avoid sharing power with the far right party. But I wanted to talk about your subject of cancer.
Yes.
I blame the physicians there in America. They refuse to tell people the truth about meat, coffee, cigarettes, and alcohol as a combination that will kill you very, very quickly between the age of 20 and 40. The physicians make money treating sickness, not seeing people sick free. So I think especially the women who serve their families, they need to get educated about how to not necessarily go vegan, but to reduce their meat intake, reduce the coffee consumption, definitely put away the cigarettes and the alcohol. I'm done, brother man.
Thank you. And we pray that things will go well for you over there in Germany. Any comments on what he said?
I would tend to agree, except I would say not just the women need to learn that. I think everybody needs to learn how to prepare foods for themselves and their families that reduce or eliminate, you know, optimally eliminate meat products for sure. But he's absolutely right. And I didn't mention alcohol because I already wasn't really consuming alcohol, but that is something I didn't do as well during my recovery, is I continued to eliminate all alcohol, because that definitely is a risk factor as well. Processed meats, processed foods, all of those together absolutely have an impact.
I think it's probably not a coincidence that all the things that kill us are really promoted by our society.
Wow. They are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are promoted and shown to be glamorous and what to aspire to. and are in some cases priced as this is the what you get when you get to luxury. You can now afford your lobster and caviar and, you know, expensive wines when I wouldn't eat that for free. So, you know, that we definitely glamorize and glorify the things that kill us. And that's a lot of that is sponsored by government and industries that, you know, are controlled also by the government.
And Dr. Go ahead, Brother Sam.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dr. Ruby mentioned, when you eliminate processed foods, the thing about processed carbohydrates, they turn into sugar. Cancer loves sugar. Basically, here it needs 200 times more sugar than the normal cells. So what's happening is that the moment you take in these processed carbohydrates, they turn into sugar. And when even you look at most of the packages, there's what's natural sugar and then added sugar. And the moment you feed cancers like that, they'll grow much faster. So one of the theories there's Dr. Robert Lustig. Dr. Robert Lustig has been talking about sugar being a toxin. In fact, he's lectured and done a lot of research and written many articles. Problem is anything you're going to talk about sodas, okay? The high fructose in the soda is much worse than the regular sugar that you may have.
Right.
Now,
right.
The problem is that there is a lot of funding or subsidies that go to growing corn, which is again turned into high fructose, high fructose sugars. And those are the problems much worse than even the original one. Again, anything you're going to eat that is going to turn into sugar is going to have an effect on increasing.
I think we have to clarify that, because all the foods that we eat basically turn into sugar. It's not that they turn into sugar, it's the rate in which they turn into sugar, mm-hmm. in addition to the thing that's been taken out of the food, not just the fiber, but also all the other nutrients like people would tell a cancer patient they shouldn't eat fruit. That's totally incorrect. But they don't want to eat the processed foods, because it's the processed foods that's really the key. But go ahead. I understand your point, but it's the process.
Exactly. In fact, Dr. Robert Lustig said that there is one patient who was brought in, or the mother brought in this kid who was extremely obese. And then Dr. Lustig said, okay, tell me what he's drinking. Not even what he's eating, what he's drinking. The mother said he's drinking a gallon of orange juice. That was it. The orange juice is processed, and then they add in some sugar. So, yes, it is a type of sugar. But also, the fact that you don't have fiber and so on, it quickly goes in sugar, the fast processing.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. And it's that rapid absorption.
The spike
makes a difference. If you eat an apple and you're diabetic, it most likely will not raise your blood sugar. But if you drink apple juice,
That's it.
The fiber and other nutrients removed, it will take your sugar. But if you add blueberries to that apple juice, it slows down the absorption, and you don't. So it's people need to understand the simple biochemistry that is at play in our diets, you know, and whoever is preparing the food, whether it's a man or woman, boy or girl, they need to study biochemistry. I mean, the real biochemistry of how the body works and the nutrients that we need to put into the body. You know, Dr. Lazer is correct. When I decided to start on the rice diet about 10 years ago, I came up with a culture that my mother did all the cooking. So I never had to cook, but I decided I'm going to be responsible. You know, my wife is busy. I'm not going to put this on her. And I learned how to cook. You know, mm-hmm. I learned how to prepare those foods because I want to take care of me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's correct. And we need to just know for ourselves, because when we're going out to eat, we need to know what foods to choose, what not to choose, what restaurants to choose, all of that, because most of them aren't healthy. So we all need this working knowledge of how to care for ourselves.
And Dr. Ruby Lathan does that in her consultations. She teaches you all of that. she's mm-hmm. got list for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the oils also important, because different types of oils can become a big problem.
Yes.
Yeah, if you could talk more about that.
Any concentrated foods.
Right.
You know, it's bad for the system. You know, in fact, when we talked about diabetes last week, I think I mentioned I actually focus on getting my patients off the fat even before I focus getting them off the sugar, because the fat has twice the calories. You know, those oils and margarines and butter and all that good stuff, cheese. it is devastating to the body, devastating to the body. And we need to learn to get off of it. Now, you know, people are listening and they think we're crazy, Dr. Lathan, you know, you mean you want me to give up all of my goodies?
Yeah. And learn how to make what's really good for you. I mean, because you can have good tasting food that is healthy. And unfortunately, and I think now that it's on purpose that they make the healthy food taste so bad, because it's like no thought is put into it. And it's just unpalatable a lot of times when you're buying, like, quote, packaged healthy food. But when you learn how to season food and season vegetables and marinate vegetables the same way, the same care and intention that we do with meat, then they taste just as good, if not usually better.
Say that again.
I say when we take the same care and intention to season our vegetables and our healthy foods, they taste just as good and often better than the bad tasting foods. And they also make you feel better. And that's the difference. When I have healthy food, not only is it good going down, it feels good coming out, because you got fiber, you're not on the toilet forever, easy to come out. And you get energy from it, as opposed to it zapping your energy. So, and you don't get heartburn and all these other things, and gas and gout and acid reflux and all these things that are literally warning signs saying, hey, I don't like what you're feeding me. All these things, the gas and all that stuff, is your body saying, this is not good. And instead of saying, oh, let me change, we say, let's take some antacids. Let's, you know, take some Rolaids. Let's take this, that, and the other. Let's take all these, you know, pills to fix the effects of what you're eating, when your body is saying, no, don't give me stuff to shut me up, because it's still happening. Give me the right food so that I can help you better.
If I may add on that. Also,
numbers 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Give us a call with your questions or comments. Go ahead, Brother Sam.
Yeah, if I may add on that, you see, the problem is that sometimes when you've never tested something different, your test buds are used to like whatever it's been used to. The moment you put in something new, it might not like it. But then when you keep taking it, all of a sudden, you'll find that is, you know, becoming palatable and all that. So yes,
when I went to North Carolina for 2.5 months to stay with my brother, he had all kinds of diseases. He did not adhere to the health principles that we were both taught them, but I adhered to them, and he didn't. At one point, he said, "Rocky, either your tastes." Your cooking is getting better, or my taste buds are changing. And I said, it's probably a little bit of both. A little bit of both. Now, one of the things I want you to comment, Dr. Lathan, on is those things that we use to make these foods taste better. Do they add any nutrition to us?
Absolutely. There's so many seasonings that have medicinal benefits that also make the food taste good. Let's start with the basics, like onions and garlic. That makes everything, you know, savory dishes taste better. They have quite a few medicinal properties, and the cinnamon helps you with blood sugar control. Apple cider vinegar also helps with that, and with acid buildup and things like that. So there are so many, you know, nutrients in the food, miso and all the things that can actually help the food be seasoned, but also are good for us at the same time.
202-588-0893. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I have a question about rice in the diet. I am a three-time breast cancer survivor, and I have my last diagnosis, I dramatically changed my diet. However, I am from the Caribbean and we eat a lot of rice. And I wanted to know how rice affects the body and cancer.
Well, I can speak to that because I use what's called the rice diet in my practice quite extensively. And about 10 years ago, I started using it with cancer patients, stage four cancer patients. And I was amazed to see how well they heal when I start giving them the whole grain rice and the whole grains, period, you know. It just made a tremendous difference. In this one patient, actually was a physician. He had clear cell carcinoma, was going to John Hopkins, was dying. I put him on the rice diet with the other part of the cancer protocol, and he literally, in 1 month, his cancer cut in half. In another month, it had cut in half again. So in 2 months, it was 1/4 the size. When he went back to see the people at John Hopkins, they were shocked that he was still alive. But Dr. Ruby, he was alive because of those grains, including the rice. So what would you say about that?
I would agree. And so basically you're talking about like brown rice or black rice or purple rice.
Yes.
All those rices are excellent because they keep the hull on, which is the fiber, and fiber takes free radicals out of the system. It binds with toxins, and on its way out, it takes it out of your system and keeps things very regular. So it doesn't give it time to build up in your gut and reabsorb toxins being reabsorbed in your gut. So when you have a regular bowel movement, which eating rice is gonna help you do that, then you're getting rid of free radicals, which are the things that help cancer develop and form and grow. So absolutely, fiber is incredibly important part of the diet. And so, yes, you can eat rice as part of a cancer recovery diet and to stay well. And it's, you know, along with that, you want your, you know, you're in maintenance and you're, you know, eating your green leafy vegetables that are also going to be cancer fighters. Then adding that to that is really going to be helpful. Your beans, some nuts and seeds. Those are the things you want to focus on. And now if that sounds basic to people out there, there's a lot of ways to combine these foods and make them into recipes so that they are not boring and just like, oh, I'm eating bird food and that kind of thing. It can be very delicious. We can make black bean burgers and things like that. There are options that it doesn't have to be so boring, if that sounds boring to folks, just so you know.
But rice and beans ain't boring to me.
It's not.
I just love them.
Right. And there's so many beans and so many ways to season it, you know, from curries to Italian flavors, to just so many ways to do it, and just combine them in different ways that really make it taste good. And folks can, you know, go to my website for examples of those healthy recipes that do taste good.
And what's that website?
And my website is rubylathan.com. So that's RubyLathon rice.com, and you'll see recipes and videos right there that you can start with today.
So Brother Sam.
Yes, please.
So, if you went back home and went to the village, would you be eating some of this stuff that Dr. Ruby was talking about?
Yeah, but let me tell you, for me, I would, in fact, go for the millet. It is really good millet out there.
Oh, millet is excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent, so, man.
You're welcome.
I think I would suggest to check on that. There is one called brown top millet, and you can soak it for about 8 hours or so. Then you cook it. It's just amazing. Very, very nutritious. Of course, anti-cancer and so on. So millet, unfortunately, is not easily available, but all the Indian stores have them.
I learned when I got into holistic medicine, I learned to eat millet, and it's just delicious.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yep.
So, any other comments, Brother Frank, about those meals? I know you are a bean and rice man.
Oh yeah, I would just add one thing: make it organic. Don't spend the money to get organic. It's worth it. Trust me.
Yeah, and in terms of rice, one of the things people will bring up is the issue of arsenic. There is some arsenic in most rices. I think the one from California has less, and there's some from Vietnam that has no arsenic. But if you put one of those seasonings, turmeric. The rice, turmeric has been shown to reverse the negative aspects of the arsenic. Are you familiar with that, Dr. Ruby?
Yes. And so that's a great way to do it. And then to turn that around into even a cancer fighter, adding a little black pepper with that turmeric, not only are you nullifying the arsenic, detriments, you're also, helping reduce inflammation as well.
Yeah.
All right. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that also the greens, different types of greens, we have so many. My country also have the green bananas, plantains. They're really very healthy. Yeah, so the variety is also the key.
So now I have a question about that. I remember the first health book I think I read was Jethro Kloss's Back to Eden, and he talked about the fact that you should eat foods grown in your environment that's been allowed to ripen on the vine. So if you pick them when they're green, it's like taking a child out prematurely. what do you say about that, Dr. Layton? Am I wrong on that?
No, it is better for it to ripen on the vine. I mean, you get more nutrients that way. And so an option is, if you cannot, get that, a lot of the frozen fruits and vegetables are ripened and then picked right as they're ripe and frozen right away, flash frozen. So that's one way you can still get those fresh, fruits and vegetables with the benefit of that ripening, that if you're not able to get local food. And the goal is just eat your fruits and vegetables. And if you can get local, get local. So not to use that as an excuse not to eat it because I can't get organic or I can't eat this. It still has benefit. And then as we're, ratcheting up our health, then let's go for the organic, and then let's go for the local. And then, that way, that's the bigger picture. But don't let any of these little specifications be your excuse not to do it. Because I hear so many people say, oh, well, everything's bad. I don't know what to eat. So let me go back to my Popeyes. No, we don't do that. We go do the best you can and then keep going, and then you add, it's like an additive effect. The better
any of it is better than Popeyes.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. And
if don't talking, throw your hands up and just give up. It's a process.
Talking of going, one of the things that literally helped Africa a lot is because generally, traditionally, your way of transportation was your legs. So you walked everywhere. That's exercise. And it's very critical because most of the time we forget about exercise. It's critical.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
So you know, this subject of cancer is such an important subject. You know, we talk about prostate, breast, lung, colorectal, pancreas. All these cancers are increased within our community. However, we have the capacity to prevent those cancers. And if we have them, we have the capacity to reverse them. I've been amazed that even stage four cancers, metastatic cancers, if we supply the body with the nutrients that it needs, the body is able to actually reverse those. But one of the things that we haven't talked a lot about it, but it's so critical, is that we have to get rid of the stress. You know, we have to get rid of the stress. Mm-hmm. And we need to start growing our own foods as much as possible.
Yes.
Small and build up, and it will make a huge difference. Brother Frank, any parting words?
Yes. First, we want to give Dr. Lathan her contact info again. Please.
Absolutely. And I would just mention, you can also order organic prepared plant-based meals from me if you don't want to prepare them yourself. And you can find that at my website, rubylathan.com. So that's rubylathon.com. You can get in touch with me there or at info@rubylathan.com.
Thank you, Dr. Lathan. Thank you also, Brother Sam, for being a great guest today.
Thank you, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Doc, for having this dream. If you want to get in contact with Dr. Watkins, who's got lifestyle prescriptions tailored to your particular ailments, call 202-388-0992, Tuesdays through Thursdays, 10 to 5, or go to www.twiliving.com. That's 202-388-0992. TWIliving.com. We also want to thank our engineers today, Kalia Chapman and Mike Marcella. They're fantastic. Thank you, Mayuki, Acting General Manager, especially for what you did last week, taking us over the hump. Katia Stitt, Program Director, and all the WPFW staff, engineers, programmers, volunteers, and loyal listeners. Thank you, Joni Eisenberg, for helping to keep DC politically, physically, and otherwise healthy. Thank you, Oladari Maccabee, for your music contributions. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that, To the East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Stay tuned. Next week, we have another dynamic show with life-saving tips to your health. Thank you.
Salamata. I tell and a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and leave the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan.
Climate Friday host Reverend Lennox Yearwood Jr. is but one of the black voices in climate and environmental justice that will be featured at this year's Taking Nature Black Conference, March 5th through the 8th. Presented by Nature Forward and themed Reclamation and Resilience, with both online and in-person participation for connection, knowledge, inspiration, and more. Details about Taking Nature Black Conference at natureforward.org/takingnatureblack. All one word, Taking Nature Black. That's Taking Nature Black, Reclamation and Resilience, March 5th through the 8th. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. Federal employees have been given until midnight tonight, Eastern Time, to respond to a mass email that was sent on Saturday by Elon Musk demanding that they explain their work accomplishments. Musk, who leads the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, warned that failure to respond to this email would, quote, be taken as a resignation. Two of the largest unions representing federal workers, namely the American Federation of Government Employees and the National Treasury Employees Union, told their members to be cautious in responding or not to respond at all. Meanwhile, a group of unions challenging mass firings say that this demand to have employees respond is unlawful. The initial mass email comes as part of President Trump's efforts to shrink the federal workforce and dismantle key agencies. The world of soul music has lost two iconic voices in recent days. Legendary songstress Roberta Flack passed away this morning at age 88. After attending Howard University at the tender age of 15 and serving as a music teacher thereafter in D.C. and her hometown of North Carolina, Roberta Flack released hits including Killing Me Softly with his song and The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face, which both won Grammys and went to number one. She also recorded classic duets with Donny Hathaway, such as Where Is the Love and The Closer I Get to You. In 2021, Flack was one of the first inductees into the Women Songwriters Hall of Fame. In late 2022, Flack announced her battle with ALS, which rendered her unable to sing. The following year, she released her autobiographical picture book entitled The Green Piano, How Little Me Found Music. Toward the end of last week, Jerry Butler, also known as the Iceman, passed away at age 85 following a battle with Parkinson's disease. Butler was an original member of the Impressions, singing lead on their 1958 classic, For Your Precious Love. Thereafter, he had a successful solo career with hits like He Will Break Your Heart and Only the Strong Survive, as well as popular duets Let It Be Me with Betty Everett and Ain't Understandin' Mellow with Brenda Lee Ager. Butler, who was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1991, also had a 30-plus year career as a politician in his hometown of Illinois. He was preceded in death by his wife of 60 years, Annette, in 2019. To your local news, in New York City, Mayor Eric Adams announced today that the massive Roosevelt Hotel migrant shelter in Manhattan will shut down in the coming months. The converted facility, which has around 1,000 rooms, has processed more than 173,000 migrants since its opening in May 2023. Regarding the shelter's closing, which is expected this June, Mayor Adams said, and I quote, "While we're not done caring for those who come into our care, the city can, quote, help even more asylum seekers take the next steps in their journeys as they envision an even brighter future while simultaneously saving taxpayers millions of dollars," end quote. To the D.C. area, it's the end of an era for a popular movie theater in D.C. after 21 years in the community. Landmark Theaters is officially closing its E Street Cinema location, which opened in January of 2004 and gained a reputation for promoting a variety of independent and international films. Touching on the reason for the closure, a representative of the cinema said, and I quote, "Landmark Theaters is constantly evaluating its business strategy and will be closing the theater given its inability to recover in the post-pandemic environment," end quote. According to the E Street Cinema's website, movie showings remain active through this Thursday, February 27th, with two showings of one film for March the 6th. An exact closing date has not yet been given. In today's weather, it's currently about 48 degrees in New York and 56 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington and WBAI.